Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change. I've got a really terrific book in front of me called Zentrepreneur, Create a Culture of Innovation and Fearlessness. And the picture is of the beautiful ocean in the background with this fairly powerful looking rock balancing on the edge of another piece of the beach. So, John Murphy, welcome to the show, and I absolutely love the cover of this book. How are you today?
Hello. Hi, it's Dr. Zara.
Great. Let me give a brief introduction for John and this wonderful book that he's just debuted. He's an award-winning author, speaker, business consultant, and Zentrepreneur, which you'll hear that term shortly. John has appeared on more than 400 radio and television stations, and his work has been featured in some 50-odd newspapers nationwide. John's clients include some of the world's leading organizations, and he's a current resident of Grand Rapids, Michigan, one of my previous home states. So, John, congratulations on your new book, Zentrepreneur. What's the reaction been so far?
Well, it's been wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Zara. It's fun because people are intrigued a little bit by the title, for one, and where that came from. They're intrigued by the punchline, the subtitle, Get Out of the Way and Lead. And, you know, the other subtitle, of course, is Create a Culture of Innovation and Fearlessness, which is the world we live in today, where things are changing, it seems, faster and faster, and fear is clearly an obstacle to keeping up if we allow it to be. So,
I refer to it as the F word, fear, in terms of organizations. John, before we get into your book, perhaps you might want to step, because you did such a nice job in this book, actually kind of opening your own soul and your own story, that back in 1988, you left corporate management, not necessarily though on your own terms, if I recall, and it started you on this track of new discovery.
It did. The company I was with, an automotive supplier, you know, the 80s were tough, and I learned a tremendous amount and continue to apply a lot of those learnings today. Cultural change, Lean Six Sigma, things like that. The company that I was with was acquired by a big European company a couple of years after that, after a lot of change and very positive change. You know, my position was being eliminated, and I was able to leave. And it wasn't exactly what some people would call the ideal time. I was not well-to-do by any means, and in fact had quite a bit of debt, and my wife was pregnant with our second child, and suddenly it's like, wow, you know, now what am I going to do? The good news is that I had a lot of experience with adversity mm-hmm. earlier in my life. I'd had all kinds of mishaps. You got to expect that to some extent when you're born on Friday the 13th and your name is Murphy, as in Murphy's Law. And you know,
but I can resonate with that because I was born on a Friday the 13th as well. So there you go.
Well, that's true. And you know, and I, by the age of three, I'd had two very close encounters with death. And so I grew up doubtful initially, like, geez, what's around the next corner? And a bit superstitious, you might say. And, you know, after having some very severe injuries, you know, in high school, I had my foot run through a lawnmower and was, basically told I would never, walk without limping again, and my football career was over. And yet, you know, 2 years later, I was playing for the University of Notre Dame and, tapping a sign every Saturday that says play like a champion today. And that kind of, life where there's a yin and yang balance, of course, and up and down, allowed me to continue to open myself up to spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I lost, you know, my job in 1988, I really gave it a lot of thought. What am I going to do next? And the idea just came to me, as ideas do. Why don't you start a company? Why don't you start a consulting company? Why don't you teach? You know, why don't you potentially write? Things I'd never done before, really. But it was like a calling. And it inspired me. It really did. So I followed my intuition And I did my homework, so to speak, and I put together a business plan and started a company in June 9th, 1988. It celebrated 25 years this year, and I'm loving it. I'd never want to go back.
Yeah, that's a fabulous story. The term Zentrepreneur or Zentrepreneurship, explain that to our listeners, please.
Well, what I do with that term is combine two very powerful practices, the power of the practice of Zen. And Zen is the practice of thinking positive, of well-being, of health, of balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many of our lives are out of balance and out of sync, so to speak. We get stressed out about this and that. And so Zen is the practice of presence, of being in the now, and of deep breathing and understanding that the now is the only time that ever really matters. It's honoring the sacred now. And entrepreneurship, of course, is the practice of getting off your butt and doing something, taking
yeah,
some risk.
Right.
You know, so when you combine Zen, you know, a lot of people think of Zen like, oh, you're going to sit around in the lotus position all day and breathe and chant and you know, do mantras and such. And by the way, I do that every morning. It's a great way to start the day. It's like, to me, it's like taking a shower. I wouldn't think of going off to work without taking a physical shower every day, and now I wouldn't think of doing that without taking an emotional and a mental shower as well. So it clears the mind, and, you know, rather than waking up and flipping the news on and getting into a potentially a lot of noise, a lot of stress, you know, the mind starts worrying about all the things that we have to do today and things that we didn't get done yesterday and what somebody said to us last week,
mm-hmm.
and what's going on next month. And, you know, the mind is playing with us in a sense. It's the untrained mind is jumping from here to there. And that's really where stress comes from. It's a creation of the mind, as is fear. You know, fear is an illusion. It's truly an illusion. We only make it real because we believe it. And so, you know, what scares you might not scare me and vice versa. So the Zen practice is to really say, what's going on in the mind? And how do I let go of a lot of the clutter and a lot of the noise and a lot of the baggage that I just seem to carry around with me? And then the entrepreneur, of course, the Zentrepreneur, when you put all that together, gets up every day and says, what can I do today to make a positive difference?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And at the soul level, it's freedom. It's what we're here to do. Our souls, you know, our inner spirit, our true self, wishes to be free. It doesn't want to be in a cage. It doesn't want to be bottled up. It wants to be free to express itself and manifest things and learn and grow. And what a perfect playground, so to speak, than Earth for all of us to do that, to wake up every day and look for ways to express ourselves in a creative, positive way. And when we do that, we feel good and we feel free.
And, you know, though, if I can imagine, John, the type of consulting work you take on and even walking with your book into clients that are stuck in the business challenges of the here and now, let alone trying to sculpt what the future might be, this probably is viewed a bit unconventional. So you might want to share, you know, how people kind of wrestle with this. And, you know, well, yeah, I can do that in my night job, but not my day job, John, you know.
Well, exactly. So the step one is, in order to do it effectively, I have to be present. I have to be calm. I have to be poised. I have to be confident. I have to be in the now, in the zone, so to speak, as a lot of athletes like to put it. You have to be in flow. And so you're not going to get other people to feel that energy, as I put it, that very positive life force, that team energy. They're not going to feel that if you don't. And so I was a quarterback in football, and if you walk up to the line of scrimmage, you know, yeah, you've got a play called, mm-hmm. you've been practicing it all week, you think it's going to work, you hope it's going to work, but when that ball is snapped, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, and that's life. And I say that, you know, whether you play football or not, that's life. Every day there's uncertainty, there's variables, and so we just don't know. So you're absolutely right. When I go into a Fortune 100 company, or I go into a small startup, I go into a government agency or whoever I happen to be working with, there's ego, there's fear, there's play it safe, there's insecurity, there's doubt, there's politics, there's just all kinds of things, a lot of dysfunctional behavior, part of it by design. I mean, the organizations, in many cases, they're not designed for flow. They're very piecemealed. And I go in there and I represent change. Now, it's interesting. A lot of people think, oh, geez, you represent change. They must be afraid of you. They must run the other way when they see you coming. Because people fear change. They resist change. And the reality is, no, they don't. The reality is we're all designed for change. We just don't know it. You know, we cannot not change. Our bodies are changing every minute
That's
of every
right.
day. Our minds change very naturally. Our emotions change very naturally. You know, day turns to night, night turns to day, the world turns. Everything around us is changing. There's no stopping it. So once we start to realize that, you know, fearing and resisting change is another illusion of the mind, and it's something that, it's like going through life with the brakes on. Who wants to do that? You know, you wouldn't drive your car that way, because it wouldn't be efficient, it wouldn't be economical, wouldn't be safe. And who wants to go through life with the brakes on? But the reality is a lot of people do subconsciously because we're afraid to try that new software. We're afraid to try that new app on the phone. We're afraid of technology to begin with.
We're afraid to go revisit our mistakes and apologize so we can get others to move forward with us.
Absolutely. Now you watch a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old pick up a phone or pick up a laptop and they're banging away on it in no time. There's no fear. And because of that, they learn very quickly. And we all learn very quickly when we just let go of our own fear, doubts, and get out of our own way, as I like to put it. Because that's often what we're doing, is we're getting in our own way. And we're doing that by resisting new relationships, new friendships, new opportunities at work, all kinds of stuff. We play it safe. You know, we try to stay back in these little niches, these little cliques, these little comfort zones. And that going through life with that sense of resistance, consciously or subconsciously, when we go through life with resistance and we don't allow the law of attraction to bring to us the things we really do want, it just brings to us just the opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
Brings us more things to resist.
Precisely. And, you know, quite honestly, many of those best ideas are actually right in front of our nose, but we're spending so much time looking up, down, sideways that we don't catch them, let alone the things that are in our peripheral vision. You know, one thing you talk about very nicely in the context of your book, and for those of you who've just tuned in, we're speaking with John Murphy, and his book is called Zentrepreneur, Creating a Culture of Innovation and Fearlessness. And you can learn more about his work at venturemanagementconsultants.com. John, the whole role of the absolute criticality of keeping an open mind and you know, the balance between not just asking why, but why not?
Well, yeah. In fact, as you know, the whole book is designed with some very simple questions, but the simple questions take us to very profound understandings and learning. So, for example, chapter one is what if. What if helps open the mind? What if I try this? What if I take a chance? What if I write this book? What if I start this company? What if I change our marketing strategy? What if, you know, just what if.
And don't you say, though, quite often, though, people say what if negative as opposed to what if positive?
Sure. Well, that's just that before we ask any questions at all, we have to be willing to honestly and candidly open ourselves up to the answers. If we're asking questions with preconceived notions and judgments and criticisms, then we're wasting our time, and we're probably insulting the people that we ask.
Sure, yeah, that's
because
true.
If we've already got our mind made up, then why are we even asking? That's just a charade.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely, we have to be present, and to be truly contemplative, we have to let go of any preconceived notion or judgment, and just truly explore. So, this entrepreneur is exploring, and it's like an adventure. Let me just hear what the answers are to this question, what if. Let me just hear what the questions are to why and why not. So chapter two is why, and chapter three is why not.
Mm-hmm.
And those questions are designed to get us to look at whatever the what if is from different perspectives. So why write a book? Why not write a book? Why give a seminar? Why not give a seminar? Why this new product? Why not this new product? And in business analysis, we often use a tool called force field analysis. It's very simply a why and a why not. What are the reasons why we should, the forces for it, and what are the forces against it? And we do that in a contemplative, open-minded way because we learn. you know, gee, there might be some reasons why we shouldn't do this.
That's right. There might be some very practical reasons, or at least we should have backup strategies or something to prevent some of the trips and falls, or at least provide a safe environment. John, the idea of bringing this methodology of thinking as a Zentrepreneur, I think some people will think, well, that's for the big name guys, you know, that really are doing the groundbreaking, truly innovative, creative things. That's just kind of not me, or that's not the size of my organization. And I venture to say that what you're really offering here in your book really transcends any of that. This is information that we can apply on our own individual life, not just if we're in a leadership position.
Oh, no question about it. You can apply this as a parent. You can apply it as a child. You can apply it as a student. You know, these are methods. I have four children, and all four of my children apply these methods as they go through. Well, two of them are through college now, and two are still in college. But think about that. What if I try this class? What if I take this course? Why should I? Why shouldn't I? And, you know, the other chapters go into who. There's a chapter titled who. Who can help me? Who should I listen to? You know, one of the problems we have in life is that we listen to the wrong people, so to speak, as if they're truly experts. So I always suggest to people, you know, pay attention to who you listen to, the wise. Pay attention to the wise. If you want to start a new business, is the person that's giving you ideas and advice, have they ever started a new business?
Yeah, exactly.
Are they credible? Do they know what they're talking about? Because the world's full of people giving advice, and it's crummy. It's no good.
Well, and I think many times I often counsel people as well that be mindful that whenever anyone gives you advice, as well-intentioned as they might be, that they're 50% talking to themselves as well, whether that be to affirm something they did successfully or they think they're warding you off from maybe making a mistake that they experienced.
Sure, absolutely. And if they're not really positive people themselves, if they haven't and they haven't demonstrated it, there's one thing to talk positive. There's another, it's another totally different thing to be positive. A lot of people talk real positive and they, you know, tell you great quotes with positive sayings and, you know, that kind of thing. But they're not happy. They're not delightful. They're not inspiring people by their behavior. So, you know, I think it's important that whether you're running a $50 billion company or a startup, these questions are universal, and they can apply to anyone. Whether you're running a household, you're teaching a class, you know, you're an administrator at a school, it doesn't matter. It's human to wonder what if, why and why not, and to explore, because we're all souls seeking expression and seeking manifestation of creative ideas. And I hear people say, well, I'm not really creative. Well, you know, what a terrible thing to convince yourself of, because indeed you are. You're creating all the time, whether you realize it or not.
Now, I think that goes back to what you said, whether you realize it or not. And that goes back to even your premise that is what Zen is all about, is realizing, right? Is really realizing. You know, later in the book, amidst all your questions, a chapter that really caught my attention was the classic yeah buts. So I watch how people are complimented for something really terrific that they did, whether it be lighthearted, doesn't have to be big, but it could be profoundly important, and they'll immediately discount it and say, yeah, but, you know, that was just a one-time thing, or yeah, but I got lucky, or yeah, but really everybody else did it before me, or whatever, and there they just disempower themselves in really some impactful moments.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the first programs you want to hit the delete button on.
Exactly.
We all run on programs, you know, whether we realize it or not. We're running on these downloads that we've been downloading since we were born, you know. And with the yeah, but, just reveals a lot of subconscious resistance. So, you know, yeah, but I don't have time. I hear that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we've all got the same amount of time in a day. There's nothing more fixed, so to speak, than 24 hours in a day. You might want to consider how you're using the time. That's step number one, and re-examine your priorities. I always refer to time like closets. You know, we never seem to have enough closets. Why? Because we keep filling it up with stuff, you know, and then we think we need more and more and more. you know what, why don't we take a look in the closet, see what we can, you know, give away.
Or then, that's true, but the other piece of those, then we get in denial to think that we actually bought all that stuff and that actually the stuff is breeding on its own.
Sure.
Yeah, that happens. John, your book just came out a couple months ago. What kind of feedback have you gotten, and where do you think it's leading you personally?
Well, it's amazing. The book came out the end of September. I've been doing probably somewhere between 5 and 10, radio and television shows each week now. I just spoke in New York City this past weekend at a big expo on it, and the audience and the feedback was extremely positive. I've been asked about the potential for some kind of a reality TV show. I mean, all kinds of really fascinating stuff. And guess what? This is my 16th book, so it's any interesting, because you could say, well, I've been swinging the bat quite a few times, a lot of my books have done really well, but this one really seems to be grabbing people's attention and helping people out in a wonderful way, and that just makes me feel wonderful.
Well, and one probably would also say that the 15 that preceded it were just setting the stones up in place for you to step forward to do the 16th.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting because, there's hundreds of thousands of people who have, responded positively to the books I've written. So it's not like they're hidden. They might be hidden gems, but I don't write a book and then sit around and wait for people to applause or whatever.
No.
There's a chapter, in fact, in Zentrepreneur called "So What."
Mm-hmm.
Because after "Yeah, but," we got "So what," and then "Now what?" So these chapters, the "So what" chapter is, look, I don't care if you won a bunch of trophies in the fifth grade or in high school, or you did something great, 10 years ago. It's not that I don't care. I mean, yeah, good for you. That's wonderful. But don't go through life looking through the rearview mirror. Because what a lousy way to age, to think that your glory years are behind you. What if the glory years, here's a what if. What if the glory years are still to come? What if there are things out in front of you that you have simply not tapped yet that could just be game-changing for you? And that's why I'm inspired by people who are in their 80s and their 90s and doing just amazing things, because they don't believe that they're past all that.
Absolutely.
They're still doing great things.
You bet. My father just crossed over that fragile line to eternity about 6 weeks ago at 87, and he had just liquidated his corporation at 86. So he was still making calls on his clients at the end of last year. And so my end reflection with my three brothers was, because we're all in our mid-50s, and I said, guys, if any of one of us thinks that we're about to slow down, think twice, because we've got the genetic wiring, and technically we're only about 50 to 60%, quote, done. So think with wonder and excitement, anticipation, now what, right? Not the yeah buts and so what, but the now what piece of it. We're very well
put. My mother's 81 and she still volunteers down in Florida. Every Tuesday she goes in and volunteers at a shelter.
That's great. Well, in mother's case, she's 86, and her idea of slowing down is playing doubles tennis instead of singles every day because she doesn't have to run as much. I get it.
Yeah.
John, tell me one final question. How is it that you think you've changed the most by helping others change?
Well, it's continued to open up my mind and open up and let down my guard. So the more I let go, the more I let flow.
Mm-hmm.
So, by taking my own foot off the brakes and opening myself up to actually channel, I wrote a book called Beyond Doubt, 4 Steps to Inner Peace a few years ago, and most of it was channeled. And that would have blown my mind 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And so the more I open up and let go and surrender, so to speak, to a higher will, the more flow I experience in my life, allowing me then to share that with other people. And it's just, it's beautiful.
That's great.
It's a circle of change. It's just, it's, what goes around comes around. We reap what we sow.
Exactly. John Murphy, thank you so very much. His latest book, Zentrepreneur, Create a Culture of Innovation and Fearlessness, or also I like to say, Get Out of Your Own Way and Lead, as you put it, venturemanagementconsultants.com. John, thank you very much. We'll look forward to watching for book number 17 and beyond. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Zara.
You bet. Talk to you soon then. Thank you.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.